This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Hold on to that.
Welcome back to the Shit Show 2.0.
Okay, Boomer.
Damn millennials. Wow.
Did not know that.
Even flirters who are obviously mentally ill.
You want to be my wife?
Oh, this is going to go downhill real quick.
What is going on, and welcome to Take on the World with
Johnny
and Mike D in the cave one more time.
Does it look like my eyes drooping down? Is that shaking out? Is it sound, do I sound different?
Do I look normal?
No, this is weird. I'm not used to this.
What?
This whole new setup.
Oh, you like that?
I do. It's just very distracting because I keep looking at my fat face. And say, God, I need to lose some weight, man.
Does this help?
Yes.
All right.
I just keep doing this. There we go. Yeah, my flag.
I'm not touching you. Wait. You touched me. What the fuck?
Hold on. We're like 12-year-olds.
Okay, we'll start over.
All right. It's been a minute since I've been in the studio.
Ready?
Are we really starting over?
Well, I'll be doing some cutting here.
Oh.
I don't want my nipples tweaked all the way out to the internet.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay.
What is going on, and welcome to Take on the World with
John A.
and Mike D. once again back in the cave.
What's up?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. What's that? Ooh, I thought I had something on my forehead. So, yeah, it's been a minute since I've been in the... In the cave.
So everybody, I think everybody knows we record two or three ahead, and then so we don't have to run over and tape every week. But I've been taping every week because this past week, which will come out this Thursday, which is probably two Thursdays ago for our listeners.
Is it? Yeah. Three Sundays ago. I did not even want to. I didn't even show up. I didn't even call. I did nothing.
I'm sitting here waiting in the studio. Well, I guess.
Went AWOL.
At midnight, I said, well, I guess John's not coming.
What'd you do if I showed up? Like, all right, I'm ready.
I'm not. Sebastian McCool came up.
Cool.
And I had Matt from The Real Drunks on, and I had Joe from Generation Mixtape, both on the Deluxe Edition Network. And we did our top three, because there was four of us, the top three for each of us in-ring wrestling injuries. Mm. Which was really, really good show. We had a great time.
Wait a minute. I was supposed to be in that one.
You were.
And you guys have picked a very specific injury for me.
I'll tell you what. Let me tell you something funny. So,
I kind of think I know what it might have been.
We had taped this once before. It was me, Sebastian, and Matt. And we went through the whole thing. And since I'm using this new program for taping, I forgot to hit record.
Oh, that's right.
Dude, we did like an hour and 20 minutes, and it was good. It was a pure gold. And
you almost need like something up here that has like a red light that tells
it
you
does. Recording. Right there.
Oh.
And right here.
And right there. Okay. And this is what you were using?
Yes.
And you forgot?
Yeah. It was actually the first time I used it.
Oh, that sucks.
In that capacity. So anyway, and that was 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. And so we decided we were going to try to do it again, but we wanted to hold off for a couple of weeks so it wasn't repetitive and, you know, we didn't miss stuff.
Yeah.
So then I asked Joe from Generation Mixtape, hey, would you like to be on this too? So that would really mix it up because there was four people instead of three.
Yeah.
And we had a great time. But Joe came on and his very, I think it was his second choice for in-ring injury was the one that I was saving for you.
Oh, okay. What was it, by the way?
It was Sean Waltman, X-Pac.
Okay.
Doing a Bronco Buster in the corner, and he tore his anus.
Oh my God.
He had to have an operation called a sphincteroplasty.
Ugh. That sounds horrible.
So that
hey, was, wait, no, what was his name?
Sean Waltman.
Who was
X-Pac.
X-Pac. That
he was the 1-2-3 kid, the Hurricane kid.
No, I was thinking of who's the guy that legit tried to kill that guy off the top. They did that.
Oh, that was
they did that stunt where the guy hesitated.
Yes. That was one of mine. That was on my list.
Like crazy.
That was Vic Grimes and New Jack.
New Jack, that's his name. Yeah. What a crazy motherfucker. Is that guy still alive?
I think he is, but from that match, he ended up with diminished brain capacity.
Yeah.
He went blind in one eye. Yeah. He fractured his skull. His skull fluid was leaking out.
And then
brain fluid.
He did a lot of cocaine and tried to kill the guy after that.
Oh, yeah. They had a return match, and it was freaking brutal. Anyway, so we did that, and that should be out by now. So go back in our archives and check that out. I did want to mention that we are on the Deluxe Edition Network, and the Deluxe Edition Network is a bunch of different podcasts. I think like 30 or 32 now.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And we are a proud part. Go to deluxeeditionnetwork.com to check out all the great podcasts. And then come back to ours. But while you're there, check out the podcast of the month. And this is what the podcast of the month is for when this show comes out. Bacon is my podcast. Need I say more? Bacon makes everything better. So this must be a good podcast. The musicians who get together, hang out, drink some whiskey, sometimes invite some guests on. And just have a good time. This is a recipe for fun, entertaining, unique podcast released 2 times a week. Make sure you check out Bacon is My Podcast. Because bacon makes everything better. Beard Laws Podcast. Imagine a bunch of friends sitting in their favorite dive bar chatting about whatever pops into their mind. Sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's heated. But every time it's fun. And you will laugh at least once during the show. We follow the same bar rules. We never talk politics, religion, or race. So make sure you check out Beard Laws Podcast. And we're back.
Let's start over again.
No, we're good. All right. We're good. So today, we're going
to... the day.
Now, this is a topic you gave me quite some time ago. It's been in my to research folder.
I wouldn't be surprised if we already did it at one point in time.
We did not do this one. We touched on it, but we didn't really do it.
Okay.
So this is
excuse me.
What in pop culture they refer to as the 27 Club. And we're just going to give a little history of it, talk about some of the people who are in this club that, well, you don't really want to be in.
Yeah, not a good club. Well, it might be better than some other clubs I can think of.
And I'm going to go. I did some research on why they think there's a 27 Club.
Oh, I'd like to hear this. Is it supernatural?
No. Although there is conspiracy theories.
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely.
Which I did not touch on because.
That's my job.
Yeah.
I'm a conspiracy nut.
So the 27 Club, if you don't know, is a group of influential musicians, and I think there's people in Hollywood on it too, who tragically passed away at the age of 27. The concept gained wide recognition due to the untimely deaths of iconic stars such as Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain. Let's dive into some of these stories and some of these people. So,
we got y'all.
It's been a while since I did this research, so
I'm nowhere. I'm trying to find out where you're at here.
Right here, where it says our journey.
You know, this is why we're number one, like all the time.
The level of professionalism
knows no bounds,
beyond reproach. Well, that's what I said when I didn't record. I said, I said, well, you'd get nothing but professionalism here. So our journey begins with the lives and legacies of those artists who became part of the 27 Club. These are people who were top of the game at the time when they died.
Yeah. Well, I would even say they're past that, surpassed the top of their game. They were just special.
But they were the best, the best.
Yeah. Like just truly, truly specimens, for lack of a better, word.
But each of them was to that point in their lives at the young age of 27, was at the height of their popularity.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix is known for his guitar.
Absolutely. When I put on Little Wing in the shop.
Yeah.
And it's just him. I love that song, man. It's just so relaxing and it's cool. And to think he was 27. What the hell was I doing when I was 27?
Probably still eating paint chips.
Right? I think, I don't know what I was doing. Probably nothing good.
Janis Joplin's on that list, a soulful blues singer with a voice that echoes with pain and passion. I actually, some people don't like her voice. I love Janis Joplin's voice.
Yeah, she's got a good voice.
I like her music.
It's a little more coarse.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she fucking belts it out.
Yeah.
Like she, you can feel it, like. She's singing about, like, she lived that, that's a lot of passion in there. And
and another one was Jim Morrison, who was the front man for the Doors, if you didn't know. And if you didn't know,
get the hell out of here.
Don't know why you're listening to us.
You just shut the damn computer off.
Of course, some of the kids these days don't know these bands.
It's a travesty. It's, I remember I knew a couple younger kids. And they were very musically inclined. They were like classical music. And I think they were in school for going in that direction. And I was like, oh, cool. And like, you like Led Zeppelin? And they're like, who's that? And I'm like,
what did you just say?
Yeah. I'm like, what? I'm like, you don't never heard of Led Zeppelin? And they're like, no. And I don't want, no. I'm like, oh, man, I'm like, do yourself a favor and listen to them.
So like the Doors was one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, I listened to that heavily.
I must have the cassettes for the Doors. And if anybody doesn't know what a cassette is, you can also get the fuck out.
Yeah.
I forget how old I am sometimes. And one of our coworkers reminds me that he was born and I was still doing the job that I'm doing outside.
Right. Yeah.
Like every time he says it, I think about it. I'm like, damn.
I saw a picture that was a meme, and it was a pencil with the eraser popped out of the end of it and the aluminum part flattened into like a spade. And they're like, if you know what this is, you had a good life. And I was like, you know what that is, right?
I chewed them on the end of my pencils.
No, it was that's what we used to roll up a cassette tape.
Oh, yeah.
Because if that was like the perfect width to stick in there and then use like a drill. We used to have, pencil fights. Remember them?
Well, we didn't have to take the eraser off. You just tilt the pencil to the side a little bit and do it and it turns it.
I always took the eraser out and then like.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
And then, interesting fact, side note here about this, the Doors.
Well, I'm going to have another side note.
was watching, I forget, somewhere on YouTube, I think. And they said that, I guess the Doors were going to their gig or something, and they all wanted to get ice cream. And Jim Morrison got all pissed off because he didn't want to get ice cream. So his response was to get
wasted. Quaaludes?
Yeah. His response was a handle of whiskey. And he said he got fucking sloshed. Got to the gig and was just completely useless. And he just sat down and like mumbled into the microphone, pissed everybody off. But in the front row was who would later become Iggy Pop.
Oh, really?
And that inspired him to do his act. And so I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what are the odds? And he was like enamored with this what he was doing on the stage, but he was just completely wasted and just, you know, sitting on the floor and like, I don't know what he was just mumbling into the mic. And he's like, that's so cool. I'm going to do that. And he did. And he also went on, do you ever see that interview with him? And he's on TV and like he's like all fucked up on coke and his nose starts bleeding. And the interviewer's like, hey, he's like, your nose is bleeding. He's like, what? Oh, yeah, that happens sometimes. And he just keeps going on. And
it's due to damage from cocaine use.
Yeah.
You know the song that they did, Hello, I Love You, Won't You Tell Me Your Name? Mm-hmm. Do you know where that, how that song came about?
No.
He was walking down the street at in some place in California, one of the beach walkways or whatever.
Okay.
And he saw this chick sitting there and he went over. He just thought she was beautiful and asked her what her name was. And she just ignored him, like blew him off. And he wrote that song because of that.
Wow. Well, that's cool.
Anyhow, what I was going to side note was we were talking about the kids not knowing some of the music.
Yeah.
I watch these videos and they're reaction videos. And they it's like so-and-so reacting to hearing Motley Crue for the first time.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you can go through life and not have at least heard some of these songs.
I don't, because I'm always looking for, like, I don't care what kind of music it is. If I like it, I like it. If it makes me feel a certain way, I don't care if it's rap, you know, music from another country, whatever, you know. And well, you've seen all my musical equipment.
Yeah.
I've got like, I had a fucking Indian flute and somebody threw it the fuck away because they just to piss me off. But anyways, you know, I've got an ocarina and it's like an old, it's like a clay flute.
A Macarena.
Macarena. It looks like something out of like Zelda. And they like.
Oh, is it like the clay flute?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nathan has one.
Yeah, they're really cool.
Well, Nathan is a squeeze box.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Constantina.
Yeah.
And he could play it.
Wanted one of
he
those.
Could play it.
Yeah.
Like he taught himself to play that.
Does
thing.
He go in and out? And in and out.
But they showed this little girl. This little girl plays drums and she's amazing.
Yeah.
I
think I know who you're talking about.
So they show her the lyrics to a song. And maybe I don't know if they play some of the other music from the song without the drums.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask her to figure out, it was Twisted Sister. They asked her, can you, you know, how would you play this? And it was amazing that with the different, like the small differences of some of the transitions and stuff, she played it that matched the song perfect.
Really?
Because then she listens to it and she plays along with it.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, yeah, well, I see what he did there. Like, that's just amazing that someone's that talented.
Yeah. You had a good ear for music. My ear for music is pretty good. It was a lot better when I was younger. But I would sit down and I put Johnny Cash on and I get my acoustic guitar and I would put my ear, you know, to the frame of the body of the guitar. And you could feel it resonate with your body when it's in tune. So I would just like pick a note and I'd slide down until I heard it match the tune in the song. And I would just do that note for note. And I was able to play, you know, at the time, I don't remember them now, but a bunch of different Johnny Cash songs. And, which is pretty cool.
So, hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
Yes.
I'd be good if that's all I could play was Johnny Cash songs.
They're not overly too difficult.
And I haven't been practicing.
No.
I need to get back in and just get on top of it again.
But like some of the chord progressions are like hard because they change a lot and they're like not the same over and over. There's like, I don't know, like different variations of them.
Plus you got to hold your guitar really high when you play Johnny Cash.
True. Yeah. So, I wonder how much of the guitar did he actually play when he was on a concert? Because he had like an entourage of band members. And I always think if you,
when he started out, there was three of them.
Right. But I'm saying like, when you look at like a video of him and like, you know, when he's really popular and he's on tour, there's like got at least like three, maybe four different guitarists, you know, playing because, you know, he's like doing his stuff, like swinging his guitar around and dancing on stage. I'm sure he's like just somebody else would take over the chord progressions. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he didn't. Maybe I'm full of shit.
I know when they first started out, there was three of them. And I think that's some amazing music.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So the last one on the top of our list is Kurt Cobain, which I think even the young people know.
Yeah.
I was never a huge Kurt Cobain fan, but his loss at age 27 was devastating to the music community.
I just heard, I think it was yesterday, that yeah, he even mentions it on his last, on the Unplugged. It's like his most famous concert. And the owner of Lead Belly, the owner of the Lead Belly's estate, you know who that is?
No.
Not the owner, but you know who Lead Belly is?
No.
He is a famous musician from like the 20s or something.
Okay.
Blues music. He played a resonator. But anyways, the owner of his estate offered to sell Lead Belly's guitar to Kurt Cobain for $500,000, and he didn't buy it. And it turns out that Kurt Cobain's guitar that he went on sale after his death from the one he used on the Unplugged set was worth, I think, like $7 million.
Holy crap.
Yeah. But I think they said it's in a museum now or something. Somebody bought it, and his other guitar is in the Martin factory in Pennsylvania.
Is it?
Yeah. Hmm. I saw that. I'm like, holy shit, that's fucking awesome.
We should do that tour sometime.
I think you'd enjoy that. That's really fun.
I know you went down with your dad, right?
Yeah. And we went into the, like, they have a little museum, and we got stuck in there and missed like a quarter of the tour. And but yeah, it's pretty cool. You see all the different stations of how it's built, and it's not a huge factory, but there's a ton of people working there, and I always think that'd be like a cool ass job, like just building a guitar or part of a guitar.
Well, I got that kit. I'm building one.
Yeah.
Haven't started yet. So all of these that we just mentioned, Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, these are people who at the time and throughout past their time, made an indelible mark on, musical history.
Did you,
the, people who came after them emulated their styles and whatnot.
Yeah.
So 27, it's just so young.
Yeah. You think it's old at the time, but God, I wish I was 27 again.
I don't. I'd have too long to retirement.
Did you make a list of all the people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I was going to say, did you do that? I figured you did. What would be the point of the topic to just list like three people?
Well, it's actually in the document that I didn't put up there because it didn't transfer well. So,
okay.
So the age 27 has taken on a mythical quality, leading to speculation about a curse or pattern.
That's what I believe. Like a curse. Like you've gotten so good, the height of your fame, and you know, the big man upstairs or wherever is like, all right, motherfucker, it's your time. I want you now.
There is a perception that the age is cursed. And because of so many famous artists dying at that age, that kind of thinking has gained momentum. And it's like almost a mythical supernatural thing rather than just coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's coincidence. So I'm going to hit on what I actually think it is. And I also found it in research. So when these artists come up, it takes them a while to get to that level where they're nationally known.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they get there, they're soaking in the fame and glory of you know, being known by everybody. A lot of times they fall into alcoholism. They struggle with drugs.
Sure.
partially to deal with that stuff. Some of it's to deal with being on the road all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's about age 27 when they reach that, you know, 26, 27, 28, when they reach it. Now, if you expand the 27 club to be 26, 27, 28, this whole list is tripled and quadrupled. Just because, and I think it's because they're living that life and they become reckless.
Oh, absolutely. God, could you imagine if you had all the fame and fortune
at 27?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have been in some trouble.
Fuck yeah. You would have been hanging out with Motley Crue.
Oh, yeah.
God knows what you would have been doing. Could you imagine if you were a band member of Motley Crue? The fucking, the wild shit you'd be doing. Like,
what instrument am I playing? The fucking spoons?
The squeeze box, man.
Hey, Vince, you need more spoons in this one?
Get a washboard. Yeah, I think Livewire needs a washboard, man.
Nathan told us a story the other day. Like, he's never told it. But I brag on this story all the time. His teacher was playing some music off his iPod. And he goes, I bet nobody can guess what this song is. And it was one note in the Kickstart My Heart.
And
he's like, Kickstart My Heart, Motley Crue. And he's like, how do you know that? He goes, my dad loves Motley Crue. He goes, I've seen him in concert.
37 times.
Well, Nathan actually saw him. That was his first concert.
Are they still as good today as the... No way.
Well,
Well, yeah, no, I kept sending you the Vince Neil misquoted lyrics.
So does Mike and Sherry. They keep sending it to me all the time.
He's breathing heavy.
Yeah. So I'd have to say probably not. But for me, it's nostalgia.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I'd still go to see him.
If they're around again, I'll go see him again.
They're still the same people. Just a little. Well, Vince is just a little fatter.
25 times I've seen him now.
Yeah.
Just a few.
Yeah, just a couple. Couple two tree.
And I've seen Poison like fucking 20 times. I've seen Def Leppard like 10 or 15 times.
Who would be your ultimate, like,
if I could see any concert?
Any concert in the world.
Anybody, even though they're not playing anymore?
Anybody. Any musician.
I'd go back to the early 80s to see Pink Floyd.
Okay. That would probably be some pretty trippy shit. Yeah.
I saw him once.
Because didn't they do like a lot of theatrics with lights and stuff? And
oh, yeah. I saw the Division Bell tour, and that was 3 days before Lexi was born.
Man, I really haven't seen a whole lot of big name. I've done a lot of like small concerts, so like, you know, punk rock stuff.
I've seen tons of punk rock shows.
And yeah, they're always fun. You know, and they're fucking... fuck a couple people up in the pit.
I don't know if I told you this, because I was a huge Suicidal Tendencies fan.
Yeah.
Dixon Flannels.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They have a line that is Suicidal Tendency shirts.
Oh, no kidding.
So instead of Dixon on the pocket, it says Suicidal, and it's made. I finally got one.
Did you really?
I finally got one.
Wow.
I got, I think it's the 40th or 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
Suicidal Tendencies. We just happened to get, and they sell out right away. We just happened to get on, and it was there. So I bought that one for me. I bought a flannel for Nathan, a Dixon flannel.
Yeah.
They're just awesome. They're comfortable. Not a sponsor, but if you want to be, hit me up.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, I'm trying to think of, I don't know. I saw Metallica once. That was cool. I had some big dude in front of me, like, destroyed this fucking kid. It was,
oh, you told me about this. Yeah,
it was like, holy shit, man. It was so cool because you stand in there, big ball guy, like a big biker Navy SEAL, and kid, he's like holding his wife, and the kid bumps into him, and he's like, don't bump into me again. The kid bumped into him again, and he just picked him up, flipped him upside down, and just slammed him on his head. And the guy was out, just laying there, and I'm like, yeah. And it's like girls flashing their titties, and I was like, all right. Even though I was like 5 miles from the stage, like you couldn't really see him at all.
I saw Metallica at Monsters of Rock.
What's a rock?
Monsters of Rock. dick. And it was horrible.
Was it?
The sound was not set up properly for him. And then I saw him two more times. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is what I expected. This is awesome. Yeah. And then during COVID, they did that. They did a concert live, and they broadcast it to drive-ins all around the country.
Oh, okay.
I went and saw it there, too.
Huh.
But where are we at here? Way off the track.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, we got to have some kind of content.
Let's see. Yeah, many theories attempt to explain commonalities among the 27 club members. The use of drugs and struggles with mental health are reoccurring themes in these musicians' lives, which is what I was saying. The pressures of fame and the artistic genius may have played the role in their ultimate demise. Like Kurt Cobain killed himself.
Allegedly.
Okay, well, that's the cause of death right now.
That's the accepted cause of death?
That's the listed cause of death. Suicide.
No, I know.
It may have been other things. And maybe another deluxe edition podcast, Berks County Unsolved, will look at that one day.
Maybe. Yeah, I had questions. I don't know. I read the book when I was younger. And he said something like he shot up like an ungodly amount of heroin. And I thought to myself, I'm like, oh, maybe he was just so used to taking heroin. He was, you know, but he shot up like four needles full of heroin or something. Like that alone would have killed him.
Yeah.
And then shot himself. And I'm like, how the hell did he hold the gun after all that heroin?
I don't know. Well, that was one of the arguments that it wasn't suicide.
I know.
Yeah. So, The research says, however, it's crucial to recognize that the correlation does not imply causation, and each artist had his own unique set of circumstances, which is true, which they're saying it's more coincidence. But the pressures and the drug abuse and the alcohol abuse and the artistic mind, I think, put a lot of these guys in that frame, ladies too. Beyond the music, we explore the impact of 27 Club on popular culture, with its reference in films, literature, discussions about the challenges faced by artists in the limelight. Fascination with the 27 Club has become a lens through which we examine the darker side of fame and creativity, which still leans to what I was saying.
I wonder if now, this is a topic for another time, but there's a theory that they say that a lot of these people sell their soul to the devil.
That's one of the conspiracy theories,
and
yeah.
And it's time.
It was time to pay the piper.
Yep.
Look, we'll make you rich and famous, but you only gonna live till 27.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
We just watched the limited series House of Usher.
Oh, yeah?
And that's basically the premise of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that on?
I think it was on Netflix.
I think I've watched everything I can physically watch on Netflix.
I don't know. Something new.
I need them to change over their algorithm so it switches up the stuff.
Something new just came out. A limited series on Netflix that I want to watch. I can't remember what the heck it was. But House of Usher is on there, too. That's worth a watch, dude.
I'll check it out.
It's pretty cool.
No, we'll check it out. Definitely.
Let's see.
God, I'm not used to that light. I feel like I'm like in the direct sunlight with no sunglasses.
I think it makes us brighter and clearer.
It looks way better. I look like absolute shit.
Well, the light had nothing to do with that. So it says movies and films and literature. What movies you know that reference the 27 Club?
What films and movies do I know?
Yeah.
Fuck. God damn it. I didn't really put me on the spot here.
I didn't really look it up. That's why I'm asking you. I thought maybe you had some on the top of your head.
No, not really. I don't think there. I'm sure there are, but I don't think it's really. I think it's just like pop culture and like myth.
There's probably some glaring ones that we just...
Yeah, like, oh, you idiot. Like, Wizard of Oz, come on. No, I don't know.
I know one of the movie podcasts on a deluxe edition is going to... How did you not pick this one?
I think, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Where Art Thou? Right? Did I say that?
Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, which is a great movie. I love that movie. I think that maybe because they predict... who's the guy that he's going to list him in here? Who met at the crossroads? Remember they picked him up. They took him to the radio station, and they played the song, and it like went number one on the charts.
Yeah.
But I think that was more the myth of the selling your soul to the devil. Yeah. But he is in that movie, or a rendition of his that character.
Well, I know that the members of the 27 Club have been a wellspring of inspiration for songwriters and musicians in the music. And I know there's been references, but I can't think of any off the top of my head.
No, I can't either.
But I know there is, and I should know them because like music lyrics is something I remember.
If I only had somebody to look that up. But anyways, well, I mean... I'm trying to think. I don't know. I can't right now. I'm on the spot and I'm shit in the bed.
This also says visual artists have drawn inspiration from the 27 Club too. Paintings, illustrations, visual art capture the essence of these musicians, which I've seen some of the I actually have one of the pictures in here. Let me pull it up.
I mean, if you're just referencing the person who died when they were 27, does that count? Because that's kind of what that sounds like.
It's just like art like this.
Yeah, okay. So you have a half as... Is that Janis, Joplin? Or
Janis Joplin.
What's his face? Lennon. And
that's Kurt Cobain.
No, I know. I mean, I took the glasses for a minute. I first thought it was John Lennon.
Well, right but next
then
to...
But you see the smile. It looks like it's female.
This is a mural someplace. And I've seen the whole mural.
Oh, shit, yeah. And that's Jim Morrison.
That's Jim Morrison right next to
me. I noticed the hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very famous poster. I think my sister had that poster in her room for the longest time.
Let's see what else we got here. I had Forever 27.
Okay.
Which is a lithograph print. Hang on. Wait, there's the mouse.
Who's the second from left?
This one? Mike Cassidy? I don't know.
You fucker. I'm like, he got me.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He looks like a little kid.
I don't know if he falls into the category. I'm sure I would add in there actors and actresses as well.
I mentioned that beginning.
If you throw Heath Ledger in there, he inspired after he did the Joker. He inspired a lot of, I'm sure, actors for that. And just you think like Joaquin Phoenix and
was he 27?
His Joker. I don't know if he was 27. Oh. He was young. I know that he might. I'm gonna say he was. I'm going to take that bet. I'll bet you another beer.
Oh, okay. I lose.
but.
So, like, pop culture has referenced the 27 Club in many different ways. Now, I have some more. I'm just seeing what else is on here. All this stuff is a little repetitive. Okay, here's where the list starts. But I have the list right here. And I'll blow this up so we can look at it. It was in a... So some of the more well-known members...
God, did you make that list?
What's my name?
He didn't.
What is my name? So some of the more well-known members of the 27 Club include Kurt Cobain from Nirvana, 1994, died April 5th, 1994, self-inflicted, allegedly gunshot wound. His body was found on April 8th. Jimi Hendrix died on September 18th, 1970. The official cause of death has been cited as asphyxiation caused by overdose of painkillers.
I thought it was booze.
That said, conspiracy theorists have cited possibility of suicide and murder.
I don't know. I always thought he drank himself till he threw up and choked on his throw up.
I don't know. So, Jim Morrison, 1971, died in France on July 3rd, 2 years to the day after Brian Jones. That's what the other.
Okay.
Brian Jones allegedly died of a heroin overdose. But because an autopsy was never performed, there is still debate concerning the cause of his death.
Well, he was a fucking wild child, so.
Amy Winehouse is another one, and she's more recent.
Yeah.
2011, died on July 23rd, 2011. She was alcohol poisoning.
Yeah. I never really listened to her, but this stuff I have heard of her, I liked her music.
I don't know much of it.
Definitely talented, I will say. More talented than me.
Janis Joplin was also 1970. died just 16 days after Jimi Hendrix.
I think
on October 4th, 1970.
Oh my God, who is it? It might have been Brian Jones. I have to look this up, but some famous musician owned a property and a flat. And I think Janis Joplin stayed. Not, I'm sorry. I think it was Mama Cass. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm probably butchering this. Well, I'll just say Mama Cass because I don't remember. Slept there. She died in the house. And then another famous musician was coming through town. And the guy didn't want to let him sleep there because he thought the house was haunted. And, like, you know, she died there. And he's like, no, I don't believe in that shit, man. It's fine. It's cool. Well, he stayed in that same room in the same bed, and he died as well. Huh. So that's fucking goofy. So I bet you one of those names are on here.
So Janis Joplin's official cause of death was cited as a heroin overdose, possibly exacerbated by the use of alcohol. Robert Johnson, 1938, August 16th.
Strychnine poisoning.
Yeah, at the time of his death, was attributed to strychnine poisoning by a jealous husband, but this is disputed.
He was
That's the one you kept on talking about, isn't it?
The guy at the crossroads? Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, they think that he poisoned his bottle of whiskey. That's right.
Right.
Because he drank the whole bottle of whiskey and then he died.
So the other picture that was on that thing was Brian Jones from the Rolling Stones.
Okay.
He died July 3rd. I didn't put a year. Huh. He's the founder and leader of the Rolling Stones. He died 1 month after being kicked out of the Rolling Stones due to drug and alcohol addiction.
This is my goddamn band, damn it.
Bye.
Get out.
Cause of death was a tragic drowning accident at his home in a swimming pool, and they think it was related to drug and alcohol.
Why are these all think?
Well, that might be more known than not, but it didn't say in the article that I was getting this information from, and I didn't look much past it because there's so many.
I was just curious. I'm just being, you know.
So that was my speculation, but I've heard that before. Drug and alcohol. He got drunk, fell in his pool, and drowned. Ugh. Ron Pigpen McKernan, Grateful Dead, founding member, March 3rd, 1973, was found dead of a gastrointestinal hemorrhage complicated by years of severe alcohol abuse.
Oof. That doesn't sound fun at all.
Chris Bell, big star, don't know who he is, died on December 27th, 1978. He lost control of his Triumph TR7, struck a wood light pole. It fell on top of him, killing him.
God damn.
D. Boone from the Minutemen. Boone died on December 22nd, 1985 in a freak van accident. He was laying in the back of the band's Econoline, recuperating from a fever, when the rear axle snapped in two.
Christ. Holy crap. I had an Econoline van.
Did you?
Yeah.
The van ran off the road. The doors flew open. D, who wasn't wearing a seatbelt, flew out of the back of the van, breaking his neck and dying instantly.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's, yeah.
Richie Edwards. Don't know him either.
Manic Street Preachers.
Manic Street Preachers is one of the more mysterious additions to the list. Richie Edwards went missing on February 1st, 1995. He was officially presumed dead November 23rd, 2008, because his car was found abandoned. On February 17th, 1995, in proximity to Severn Bridge, it was widely believed he committed suicide. So here's the...
Oh, damn, you went all out.
The big list. Like, there's Mombad, some Nigerian rapper.
Young Trapper.
So I can read these dates. That was September 2023. Julian Figueroa. Well, his cause of death was unknown. Julian Figueroa was April 2023. It's a heart attack, basically. He was a singer, actor, composer. Young Trapper, a Russian rapper. Died of an overdose in February 23. Let me just go down the list for some people I know.
So are these are the famous people on here as well? Like super famous?
These are everyone who's been mentioned in reference to the 27 Club. They all died when they were 27. I don't know a lot of these people, so I'm just going to skip Amy Winehouse. Richard Turner. that's not the one I thought. Let's see. If you see a name you know, jump it out. Let's see. Ba, 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 ba. Freaky Ty.
Fat Pat.
Member of Screwed Up Click.
Yeah, murdered. Stretch. I've heard of that name. Where is that? What was he?
I want to look at the cause of death, too, because I think there was a couple, like, really weird cause of death. A bus wreck. Murdered.
I don't know why I thought.
There's Kurt Cobain.
What's his face would be on here? Jim Croce. I thought he was 27.
Maybe he is. He might be down lower. I didn't put him in alphabetical order. They are in chronological order, though. Traffic collision.
What about Buddy Holly?
Do you know what year he died?
I think it was in the 50s or 60s.
Oh, we're still in the 70s here. Electrocution.
Huh.
Leslie Harley, May 3rd, 1972. Guitarist for Stone the Crows. Don't know the band either. Jim Morrison, heart failure. Asphyxiation. Drowning. Oh, that didn't say he drowned, did it? Brian Jones. Oh, yeah, drowned in his pool.
Well, they said he found him in his pool.
Yeah. Dickie no Pride.
Name. No name. Who's that?
Don't know. This is still Brian Jones.
Oh.
Coroner's report stated death by misadventure.
Oh, that's a little bit of a cop-out.
complications of high blood pressure.
Wait, what day did he die?
Who?
Brian Jones. Is it a Friday? I got a dinner date tonight.
July 3rd, 1969. I don't know if it was a Friday.
My lame attempt at a joke.
Oh, okay. So the oldest one on here is Alexander Levy.
Mm-hmm.
January 17th, 1892. Cause of death unknown. He was a composer, pianist, and conductor.
Look at that. A ragtime musician. Yeah. Holy shit.
Syphilis?
Neurosyphilitic.
Cirrhosis.
What is that?
I think it's like having syphilis for a long time.
Oh.
I don't know.
What is syphilis?
It's a sexually transmitted disease.
That's that, yeah, like your face fucking falls off and shit. Eat your bones.
Something like that.
Eat your bones and shit.
Yeah.
God, that's horrible.
Infection of the central nervous system in a patient with syphilis. Ugh. So that's a 27 club. I mean, I'm sure you can go much deeper into it, but a lot of the information I was finding was very repetitive.
Yeah. It's not a big, big topic. I didn't think we'd be able to do like a huge. It's just in breaking report on it. But I always thought it was an interesting topic. You know, it's sad.
So let me ask you this before we head out. People. What is your theory? You think it's a coincidence? Do you think it's...
No, I think it's just coincidence, to be honest with you. I mean, when you look at the pool of musicians in the world, and that's the list we have of maybe 100, and in the grand scheme, that's really not a lot. It's enough. It's sad, but, you know... Look, we have the king right there.
Thank you very much.
We have there's a lot of famous people that didn't die at 27.
Our autographed Elvis Presley picture from 2020. Told you the king was still alive.
So, yeah, I don't really think it's a conspiracy theory at all. I think it's just.
So do you think it's just the height of their fame and their lifestyle?
Yeah. I mean.
That's what I think, too.
But. I mean, I don't take much to fucking, you know, shoot up heroin and then fucking slip and fall in your pool and hit your head or something and die.
No, it doesn't.
You know, a lot of these guys are probably living on rented time as well, you know. I don't know.
Living on a prayer.
Yeah. But will we ever know for sure 100%?
Probably not. Never.
No.
I mean, I don't think there's a conclusive answer.
I don't think there is.
So we took on the wide, wide world of 27 Club. Now you go take on the world. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
The Deluxe Edition Network, also known as The Den, is an incredible podcast network that offers a wide variety of entertaining and informative podcasts.
With a lineup of shows covering various topics, such as interviews with a wide variety of guests, history, music, relationships, true crime, and so much more. The Den provides content that caters to a diverse range of interests.
The hosts and guests on the Deluxe Edition Network demonstrate a deep passion and expertise in their respective fields, making each episode on each show engaging and thought-provoking.
The network fosters a sense of community by encouraging listeners to interact through live chats, social media, and forums, creating an inclusive environment for discussion and sharing opinions.
With its commitment to high-quality production, the shows in the Deluxe Edition Network continue to captivate and entertain its ever-growing audience.
Whether you're a podcast enthusiast or someone looking to explore new topics, The Den is a fantastic platform to dive into and uncover fascinating insights from experts in their fields.
The Deluxe Edition Network is the home of independent awesomeness.
To find all these great podcasts in one convenient location, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.